Hello and welcome to Simply Save Podcast. Investing in debt mutual funds has become more complicated in recent times. Last year, a fund house had to shut six of its debt schemes due to lack of adequate liquidity in the markets. In the past, rating downgrades and defaults on corporate bonds have unnerved debt mutual fund investors. More recently, possibility of rising interest rates and spike in yields have got investors worried as these could impact bond prices. Edelweiss Mutual Fund has come up with a debt index fund which will invest in AAA rated corporate bonds of government-owned companies and state development loans. In this podcast, I am joined by Radhika Gupta, who is the MD and CEO of Edelweiss Mutual Fund, to talk about the reasons for launching such a fund right now, how is it different from other debt funds, and more importantly, how investors should be thinking about their investments right now. Hi Radhika, welcome to Simply Save Podcast. Your fund house has been bringing in some interesting products on the debt side. Earlier it was Bharat Bond ETF, and now the latest offering is a debt index fund. So can you tell us a bit more about this fund? What will be its investment objective? And what was the reason for launching this fund right now?
Thanks, Josh. Thank you to Money Control for having me on the show. So yes, I think after a successful passive series with Bharat Bond, this is a new series. It builds on what people experience there with a new category of investment. So let me tell you what it's about. It is a target maturity fund, which means that it will buy bonds and hold them to maturity. This is a 2026. So it means that when you invest, if you give me money in this, I will use it to buy bonds that mature in 2026. And in the middle, I don't do very much. I just buy the bonds and hold them to maturity. This is very similar to what you saw in the Bharat Bond structure. The reason I'm talking about this first is this is very important to you as an investor because this gives you a predictability of returns. You know, I'm buying bonds if they have a yield or coupon today. If I stay invested for 5 years, which is what we recommend, then you will earn that yield. So that's what it will do. And it will buy bonds, as I said, till 2026. The second question is, what kind of bonds will it buy? It will buy two kinds of bonds. It will buy 50% bonds of public sector companies, highest rated or AAA public sector companies, similar to Bharat Bond. The next 50%, it will buy bonds of states. So just like you have G-Secs, which is Government of India borrowing, you have something called state development loans, which is your states, Punjab, Maharashtra, Rajasthan, etc., borrowing. Like G-Sec, these are also sovereign bonds. So you will buy 50% of the portfolio of bonds of AAA public sector companies, 50% of the bonds of states. So that is what you will do. So it's a portfolio of very, very either sovereign or extremely high quality state-owned companies maturing in 2026. I think that is the way to simplify it. And finally, it is a passive fund. That means the fund manager is not taking an active call. It's in the index fund format, not the ETF format. So you don't need a DMAT account. You just buy it like a mutual fund. You can SIP into it, etc., etc. And it's an open-ended low-cost fund.
Okay. But I also wanted to understand, for our listeners that this is an index fund, but if I'm given to understand, it will not be like a full representation of the index, right? If you can talk a bit about that.
Yes. So let me explain the concept of an index a little bit for the listeners again, and then answer your question. So an index is basically an independently constructed basket of securities, bonds that you would hold. In this case, the construction is done by National Stock Exchange. They were also partners of Bharat Bond. So if you look at the index for this product, it has 10 PSU bonds and I think 10 or 11 state development loans. And by the way, the index is live on NSE's website. You can see the portfolio, you can see the yield, everything. So that's what it is. Now, in equity funds, when you invest in an equity index fund, the equity fund, if it has an index, mirrors the index exactly. Okay, that is the rule. In debt funds, all over the world, in debt index funds, the guideline is risk replication. Because all bonds are not available at all points in time, you try to mirror the index as closely as possible. Okay. However, if I don't have, like, say, Maharashtra is in the index, it's a state development loan, right? And Maharashtra is not available, and I have to do 4% Maharashtra, but I only get 3% Maharashtra. I am allowed to substitute that 1% of Maharashtra with another equivalent quality state. So it's very close to the index, but it's not identical.
Okay.
And this is the guideline for all index funds in debt globally.
Okay. Okay. Now this is an open-ended fund, right? Where technically investors can withdraw their investments at any point of time. But at the same time, you are suggesting to investors that they should come into this fund if they want to park investments for 5 years, which is till maturity of the fund. So basically, investors should think of it like a closed-ended fund, right? So why is that so? Can you explain to our listeners?
Yeah. So firstly, it is not a 3 month, it's not a liquid fund, it's not an arbitrage fund, it's not a 1, 2, 3, 4 month fund.
Right.
5 years is the time horizon. One of the things that these products do is they give you predictability of return. If I buy today, just like in an FD, when I go to a bank,
yeah,
I say I'm going to do a 4 year FD at this rate. So
right,
that rate, like on this index, the rate has been, I think, over the last few days, the index yield has been something like 6.3 to 6.4 in that vicinity. That rate will only be realized if I invest for 5 years.
Okay.
In the middle, what happens is interest rates move up and down. If interest rates move up, you will have some negative mark to market. If interest rates move down, you will have positive mark to market.
Right.
I want to tell your listeners one thing.
Yeah.
We did a little simulation that if people invested for 3 years, which is a long period, and then after that you get indexation, and interest rates moved up 1%. And I'm mentioning this now because everyone's worried about interest rates.
Right.
Still, instead of 6.3, your returns are close to 6.1. So you're still not badly off. So it's an open-ended fund. You can invest for 5 years. Even if you invest for 3 years, chances are you'll be well off, which is why the open-ended fund structure works. But it's not a six month to 1 year product.
Okay. Also, the idea behind launching this fund is to gradually give investors a suite of products which allows them to take what we call as targeted maturity approach for their investments. Can you help our listeners understand what targeted maturity really means, and if possible, give some examples for this?
Okay, so let's talk about what target maturity is and what the other alternative is.
Right.
Target maturity means that I have a finished date, which is the target date on which the fund ends. It's like the old FMP or an FD, like an FD ends on a certain date. It matures on a certain date. That's the same thing. So April 2026 is the target maturity. Now, what does target maturity mean from an investment point of view? As I said, if you give me 1,000 crores today, I will buy 1,000 crores worth of bonds maturing ideally around April 2026. For the listener, it means if you give me 10 lakh rupees, you give me 10 lakh rupees in 2026, I will get that money back. So what target maturity does is it's a passive strategy. I buy bonds today, I just hold them till maturity. That's all I do. So the bond will pay me my principal back, plus it will pay me all my coupons back. The opposite of target maturity, or the contra of target maturity, I would say, is a bond mutual fund. It keeps churning the bonds. So it'll buy X today, Y tomorrow, etc., etc. And it's actively managing that.
Right.
In traditional bond funds, which are not target maturity, what happens is that there is an element of duration. In target maturity, you buy a five-year bond today, it becomes a four-year bond, three-year bond, two-year bond, one-year bond, and then it becomes a zero-year bond.
So there will be some more funds with different maturities coming in this same platform, right?
So yes, I think across industry, and our certain endeavor is to definitely bring more products. We got approval for a 2026 and 2027. We are launching the 2026 right now. I think depending on the response, and it looks great so far, we'll bring the 2027 to market and we'll build out a basket of these. We really think passive fixed income products for Indian investors are great. They are simple. They offer transparency. You know the portfolio you're investing in. You know the yield you're investing at. And they are at much lower cost than your traditional actively managed funds.
Sure. So what would be the expense ratio for this particular fund?
So this fund has two plans. The regular plan, which you come through and distributor in, that's 30 basis points.
Okay.
The direct plan is 15 basis points. So it's very competitive in both plans.
Sure. And just to back up a bit, the what basically you are saying is that if investors are able to hold or stay invested for 3 years, and if 5 years if they can, the duration risk is taken care of in this kind of a product, right?
Yeah, in 5 years, there is zero duration risk.
Right,
in
right.
3 years also, you can do scenario analysis. And we have done this scenario analysis. You can check it out on our website. If interest rates were to rise 1%, and 1% is quite a bit of rise in interest rates, instead of 6.3, which is the yield on the index, you are likely to realize something like 6.1. That's not bad at all. That's higher than 3-year rates today. So even if you're a 3-year investor, you actually have the opportunity to make a better yield by holding on for 3 years. And this is because of the way interest rates are. 5 and 6 year rates are quite elevated today.
Right. Okay. Another question I had that, RBI has made an upward revision to its inflation projection to 5 to 5.2% for first half of FY22. Now, rising inflation will have an impact on the net returns that investors make, not only on the debt index fund that you're launching, but also other debt funds. So what would you tell investors who might have this concern?
So there are two parts to it.
Yeah.
If inflation rises and you're assuming interest rates rise, as I said, for a 5-year investor, that does not matter because he's going to earn the yield. In the middle, he could have mark-to-market movements. I will re-emphasize that again. But if he's a hold-to-maturity investor, he will not have that problem. I also illustrated a scenario of how things could look like in 3 years. Quite frankly, Josh, we don't know in 3 years if interest rates will be 1% higher or 1% lower. It's very difficult to predict markets.
Right. And can you talk a bit more about state development loans, this particular investment that the fund will make? How are they positioned right now? And is there some scope for capital appreciation on these funds because, where the yields are at this point?
Yeah. So state development loans are basically bonds issued by states to meet their own borrowing requirements, okay? And they are sovereign rated bonds. So that's basically, and different states issue them. So there's no rating because they are sovereign rated, like GSEC, okay? Now, typically, if you think of government affiliated kind of bonds, affiliated, there are three kinds. There's GSEC, which is the Government of India, state development loans, and public sector, AAA public sector companies like NABARD, NHAI, etc.
Right.
Typically, GSEC trades at the lowest yield, then state development loans, then AAA PSU.
Right.
However, what has happened today is because states are borrowing a large amount, SDLs, instead of trading less than PSUs, are trading higher than PSUs. So
right.
That actually, and it's not because their credit rating is worse, it's because their borrowing requirements are higher.
Right.
So that is why from an investor point of view, by adding 50% SDL to the portfolio, you're getting a better yield than AAA PSU. And it's a different line of product. SDL is not something that people buy on their own. So one of the purposes of this product was to give people access to the SDL market also.
Right. And with SDL yields being where they are, there could be some compression on the spreads, and that investment
exactly.
also see a capital appreciation, right?
So there are like 2-3 cases. One case is that the 5-6 year rates are good. The second is that, as you said, there is opportunity in SDLs for SDL compression.
Right. Sure.
And SDLs don't carry credit risk. In that sense, they're similar to central government securities.
Okay, sure. I also wanted to ask you, what will be your advice for mutual fund investors in the current environment, where there are signs of inflation picking up, oil prices are rising and equity markets are also showing volatility. So what would you tell mutual fund investors who are worried about their investment right now?
I think mutual fund investors have to be very focused on their asset allocation. And I know it's very boring advice, but that's what you have to do. You have to stick to the asset allocation that works for you and not be tempted to deviate from it, because markets are moving very dramatically, and don't take dramatic decisions.
Right.
Ways to stick to your asset allocation are either to hold good quality equity funds and debt funds, or to hold things like asset allocation funds or balanced advantage funds, etc. These are two ways to stick to your asset allocation. Within fixed income, because we have been talking about fixed income on this podcast, please stick to high quality. I think retail investors are not meant to take any kind of credit risk. We've learned that.
Right.
And have two buckets. have short-term fixed income money, which you can park into liquid or money market funds or arbitrage funds, and have goals. Like if you have a 5-year goal, this product is perfect. If you have a 10-year goal, then maybe 10-year Bharat bond is perfect. So you can, one of the ways that you can use the products that we talked about also is to manage to your goals. So for instance, in our basket, Josh, we have a 2023 product, a 25, which is Bharat bond, and we have 2030 and 31, which is Bharat bond, and then we have 26 and 27. So you actually have 6 products to manage your goals.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Radhika, so much for your precious time and sharing your insights with our listeners. I hope that they can learn from this and it will help them in their investment journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Josh. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, and keep listening to Simply Safe. If you have any feedback or questions, do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, log on to moneycontrol.com.